This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Yes, it was in the teens, Bart. It certainly was. Well, we're going to have another great informal show on today. And for those that you are still in bed, listening to the radio, stay in bed. It's cold outside. Don't even think about getting out. We have Mr. Don Odom on today, and one of the nicest people. And we were talking a little bit earlier, and everybody knows that Don is our superintendent of Rutherford County Schools and doing such a great job, and took over for an icon, Mr. Harry Gill, right, who left and is now spending most of his time on the golf course, I think. and you know, Don, you still haven't gotten that haggard look yet. I mean, you've been there a while.
We're working on it.
Yeah. But he looks so much younger and everything, and I never will forget when he decided to make that move to step down. Everybody, of course, was worried, but the biggest worry was that Don Odom would not be selected, because everybody knew that you were going to hit the ground running. You had all the tools to make sure it ran in a manner that it should be. And I just want to tell you, be the first one here this morning to tell you, you're doing a great job over there. You really are. And I think it's one of the toughest jobs anywhere, and you make it look so easy.
Well, thank you. It's a team effort, though. You know, yes. I give a lot of credit. I tell the board every once in a while, I do not teach a single student, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the teachers in the classroom, administrators there. But creating a team approach is a way for education or almost anything else in the business world, a collaborative approach. And Mr. Gill started a lot of that. Basically, he and mm-hmm. I together created the professional learning communities, and that whole model is based around collaborative approach.
And it's one of the most successful school systems anywhere.
Well, we're one of the 21 exemplary school systems in the state this year, 6 reward schools. I'm very pleased with that for the efforts last year.
You know, you're kind of from the old school, which is great. Mm-hmm. And how is it when you're having to deal with the testing and then graded by the testing, but yet there's so many other aspects to making a child successful? Is that still a major point of interest for you? And I know it is, without even asking.
It absolutely is. Before I came here this morning, I attended the Business Education Partnership Chamber of Commerce Executive Committee, and we were talking about ways to try to get business people in the community, in the schools, because one of the problems that students have is making a connection that when I learn this, where will I ever use it? How do I apply this? Why do I need to study this? And so one of the things we're trying to do, and we're going to look at something we kind of tagged Speakers Bureau. It'll probably come out something different to that when we do, to try to tap people like yourself. I mean, criminal justice is one of our most popular courses in high school, but we need to hear people that's in the field, been in the field, and very often people that have retired will have so much knowledge, so much that they can share with students that they can do. So we're going to try to up that some to give students more of a connection with mm-hmm. what they're learning.
It's hard to get a feel of your chosen vocation without relating to the people that have been there a number of years and seen it from all sides. Right. And I think that's a wonderful program. And as you expand out into areas that people are going to be looking for careers, you know, I think that's a lot of what really high school is all about. We've kind of forgotten that and went on to the college level, but that's not always a certainty. And in a lot of ways, it's not a priority anymore. Because people want to see degrees in specific programs, but you and I know that in some careers, it's the OJT that right. really makes you successful in the things that you learn during that process.
The State Board of Education changed, and of course, the first seniors will be graduating this year. required them to have what they call an elective focus.
Mm-hmm.
For some students, elective focus could be in academics, but it was three additional courses above what it requires to graduate. Yeah, they have to have four math to graduate anyway, three sciences. But the elective focus, and a lot of those have been those career and technical courses. You know, we have waiting lists for culinary arts.
Wow.
So many. It's amazing how many people want to do that. Of course, health science is still very big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, criminal justice is big. But at Central this time, at the magnet school, we created an engineering magnet. So we have students over there that are taking engineering. Actually, the lady teaching it is a former engineer from Saturn.
Wow.
So we try to find people that are have been in the field or know something, special skills for that, to help those students connect. But I say often, if a student can't find something they like in high school today, they're going to have trouble finding a job when they get out. The ag people have reinvented themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And more, if you and I go back to home economics and ag and what it was.
Yeah.
But
what was
today,
FHA.
FHA and FFA.
You know.
And we had people competing in Indianapolis this past week in horse judging, you know, a group from Oakland. But anyway, horticulture is big, turf management.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they reinvented themselves into that. We have pre-veterinary science now, small engine repair. But, you know, the big thing about ag is ag business.
Mm-hmm.
There's not hardly any occupation or something that's made out there that doesn't have an ultimate connection back to agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find ag programs now where 40% of the people may be girls.
Wow.
In the program. It really does, has changed a lot over the years, but the big ag business piece and a lot of those specialty pieces really make a difference.
People, when they think of the magnet school, and we were alluding to this earlier, they think of math and science are predominant, and it's all academic. But you and I were discussing that's not always true in a magnet school, which I think that what you were saying earlier, I think that's wonderful. But the magnet schools are such a draw. Do you think that we will see something like that in the future for all the schools where they would be focusing on certain academics rather and careers and things like that to put people more in line with their careers? Because, you know, I think we've gone through a point in the last 20, 30 years mm-hmm. where we haven't focused as much on that, and I think we're seeing a lot of that in the workplace right now.
We have one of the largest career and technical education programs in the whole state. Our graduation rate a year ago for everybody was 91.6%.
Mm-hmm.
The kid that's in career and technical education, it connects to a program, the graduation rate's 98%.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get students seeing a purpose in their program and they're working towards a goal at the end, they stay with it. They graduate. So, yes, you're right. I mean, sometimes it's academic, like the IB program maybe at Oakland, but you'll have other schools and places. Eagleville has really, really strong ag program. Mm-hmm. Lots of people like to go there, you know, for
right.
that program. They develop those young leaders and speakers that are part of the program. You have other things, Blackman, others are known for culinary arts and things that they do. So most every school has a program that's really very popular among the student bodies there, but a lot of that is the teacher that's teaching the course. If you have somebody that's really enthusiastic, really knowledgeable about it, mm-hmm. students flock to that. One of the things that we attended yesterday, a conference was at Embassy Suites, that was organized by the Chamber of Commerce. Nissan played a part. It's workforce development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nissan's having difficulty finding enough qualified and trained people to enter their workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they're
things like
that everywhere.
Right. Yeah. Megatronics, mm-hmm. You know, is one of the things that we look at there, which is a programmable logic controller. You know, what we're looking at that, a program there. Nissan, Volkswagen, all looking at other programs to, if students go through this in high school, that they'll certainly give them the first look at an opportunity to get a job when they get out. So a number of other jobs they go out as part of their coursework, and they may work at the hospital for a number of days or things like that. So we're trying more and more to connect the student with the working world, and that's –
Boy, that's a
that's what holds them, you know?
I love that. And it gives them maybe a foot in the door for their careers, as you were saying, which is amazing. But over the years, we've seen population as it has grown, especially in our community, and it grows. It's not always growing equally. I mean, right. It'll grow in sections, and then it puts a major burden on that particular area, especially for you and the school board to try to find a solution as a number of classrooms that you're going to be needing. And that's always going to be a constant here in Rutherford County, it looks like to me. And I was reading this morning about Laverne, where the parents had a meeting and they were wanting to usually it's something that if it's a new school coming up, they want to go to the new school. But that's not exactly what I was reading this morning. I mean, they seemed to be very happy with Laverne High School, and they were more worried about maybe having to transfer to the new school that'll be opening up. And that's a real positive towards you.
Well, you know, the board last night made a really commitment to the people at Laverne to that because there's a new school, we do not abandon the old school. We're committed to it. But we saw the same thing when you opened Siegel. You saw some of the same thing when you saw open even the new Smyrna with Laverne originally, because half or more of the people probably had Smyrna addresses when we started Laverne. Mm-hmm. So there's always that first couple of years or so that's involved with that. Rutherford County has grown about 9,000 students in the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. So zoning is one of the things that's just necessary for us. And you and I mentioned earlier, 149 portables still in existence. We'd love to be out of that. So as long as we continue this growth, people are going to see the rezoning and the things that go with that.
Are you able to put the same academic classes and career classes in each school? Or say if someone has, the kids have maybe more of an aptitude towards specific subjects and they're in Smyrna and maybe they don't offer it in any of the Smyrna schools and maybe they would have to go somewhere in the community. Is that an option for the child and the parents? Or how do you work through that?
We have a zoning exemption process that we look at if people mm-hmm. would like to do that. The academic programs are pretty much the same mm-hmm. everywhere. Your math and English and social studies and that science, that sort of thing. But because of the cost of some programs, if culinary arts, because you have to have the kitchen, all of that area mm-hmm. with it is an expensive program. Printing, anything like that that you're publishing, radio and TV is an expensive program. So you very often have cluster those, and they may differ a little from school to school. Mm-hmm. But we'll work with somebody or talk with them if we can find someone that's interested in a program or that's really a commitment they might have. But there's so many offerings out there in career and technical education that you just can't offer the same program in every school. You wouldn't have the space nor maybe the students to do it. So there's some concentration areas is what you do in that. So a large number of them.
We haven't seen much of an ebb as far as the growth in Rutherford County, and it's continuing. I know you've got another school that you're going to be opening up. And do you have the figures or have you been able to look at maybe where the next position of a school, especially a high school, where it will be because of the growth in certain areas? And I know we were talking about the classroom space is still mm-hmm. Pretty tough to deal with. I mean, you still have the classroom portables and those type things, which just doesn't seem possible in a community like this. But the cost of growth is unbelievable, and the way that you guys are able to manage that is really a major star in your cap, because you're constantly having to work on just that one particular area. I mean, it's got to be tough.
The our schools now are all geothermal. mm-hmm. metal roofs, you know, that's mm-hmm. going to last longer. We put in high efficiency lighting, even did that back to retrofit the older schools. Mm-hmm. Mr. Gill also got through some devices and some retrofitting for use of water and that sort of thing. So people often talking about being green. We really work hard to be green if we can. Our board has had some vision in where schools will be built, because Stewart's Creek is being built mm-hmm. now, when they got the 105 acres there, that where you have Stewart's Creek Elementary and Stewart's Creek Middle now. Of course, that's where the high school is going. When the property was purchased for Rock Vale, mm-hmm. So we have the middle school there, but there's enough property for the high school. Actually, where we have Whitworth Buchanan mm-hmm. School, the enough property is there to also have a high school there. So whenever the time comes and we have to build on those other sites, then the capital outlay for the property has been done. And very often we go ahead and work on what's called the pad mm-hmm. or try to deal with the soil and some of the leveling with when we build the first school there. That helps retain your soil and also can reduce your cost later on when you have to go back in and build. So Gary Clardy is our engineer, which
does a good job.
He really does. He came from a background in construction. I mean, people might not realize it's something as simple as we changed the designs on the middle school. If you mm-hmm. look at, say, Siegel Middle, you will see the wings kind of come out in a at an angle, mm-hmm. And that's attractive. The issue is that when you build that wing at an angle and you're making those truss, the steel truss that are for mm-hmm. your roof, each one has to be made separately mm-hmm. and a different size until you get out to where they can all start. Well, by coming back to the T formation again, then you just start from your connection and all of them are the same. All of that reduces cost. We've lowered the ceiling some in the entrance areas, you know, like that. In some of our new schools, don't have as big an envelope to heat. So many, many little things go into that. We now, when we replace the flat roofs, we now use a white membrane mm-hmm. rather than a dark membrane, right. Which, again, reduces that cooling cost and all now. So we take it very seriously and work hard at looking for ways to save money in that.
That's why I say it's one of the toughest jobs anywhere, because you're a builder, a contractor, you're an educator, you name it, you take in. And what you were saying, I got to thinking, you know, one of the biggest things that we've missed over a number of years, the people that have been here most of their lives, is the neighborhood school, the community school. I mean, of course, Eagleville has still got theirs right. out there. And people take pride, even if it's a K through 6 or whatever. But when you were talking about Buchanan, they've already got the elementary mm-hmm. school and they got the middle school, and then they will graduate into right. the high school. That sounds like something similar to what we used to have, where you can stay in the same school system with kids that you started with all the way up through high school. And you know, there's something positive about that.
I can remember when, of course, the original consolidation with Oakland and Riverdale back in about 72,
well. Yes.
You know,
yeah.
And dealing with that was people said, well, we're taking them out of the community, but actually because of our growth, that concept is kind of beginning to reverse. One of our most popular setups really is Blackman. You got the Blackman Elementary, which is right there. You got across the road from each other, Blackman High, Blackman Middle. Mm-hmm. That concept now has been brought to Stewart's Creek with a high school we're open there. There'll be an elementary, a middle, and a high. Rockvale Elementary sits across the street from the middle school. The property's there then to put the high school on. Mm-hmm. Same thing will be true, as you mentioned, out in Whitworth Buchanan. And the parents absolutely love it, because mm-hmm. very often they have students, if they're bringing to school, they may be 4 years apart. So mm-hmm. one's in elementary and one's made it to middle school or to high school or something. So if you talk to parents about it, they absolutely love it. Does it create some traffic issues? Yes, sometime when you're close together. But basically, it's still very attractive to people. So it is a lot of that community concept. We even, now when we look at the school colors, you know, our board, when we go around the Red Hawks, it'll be at Stewart's Creek, we looked at when we built the elementary in the middle, kind of adopting a school color so you have that theme all the way through so your shirt's not totally
all the way
out.
is that all the way from elementary all the way?
They have different mascots and all, but you have some of the same colors. So we went to Whitworth Buchanan, picked up a lot of those Buchanan Hornet colors that were there all along. So you see that. And with Oakland Middle, as we built that, you know, with the red, white, and blue that was there, you know, back again to picking up those colors. So there's really quite a bit of thought goes into much of this, but people, the people we serve, you know, our customers are the students and the parents, basically Rutherford County. And so we listen, and it just makes good sense economically and for personnel also.
Each school is like its own government. And the mayor of each school, of course, is the principal.
Right.
And bless their hearts, you know. I think when you're mixing the principal's personality and how he wants to run his school, and then you mix with the kids and the teachers and then throw in the parents and all of that, that's not always an easy mixture, is it, Don?
It's not. Sometimes you're walking a tightrope, you know. The principals and all get so much pressure from the top with testing, No Child Left Behind and all. So that's the issue that drives a lot of it. And so there, it gets passed down, unfortunately, to the students and that sort of thing.
We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. We want to let you know that this part of the Don Odom Show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes and a staff of certified technicians, they can fix anything. From a simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on the Ridgely Road. And this is the last day of the month that you get free front wiper blades with a standard $29.95 oil change at Murfreesboro Automotive.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all you can eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, I'm State Farm Agent Celeste Middleton, and I can help you get to a better state because I'll talk with you, listen to you, and help you put together a policy that has you written all over it, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Give me a call at 895-2700.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
I'm State Farm Agent Celeste Middleton. Give me a call at 895-2700.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
ProLift Systems is involved with all aspects of foundation repair. ProLift Systems 481-4735 has two decades of experience in residential and commercial construction and foundation repair in Murfreesboro and surrounding areas. ProLift Systems 481-4735. If you notice drywall cracks, doors and windows that are hard to open, cracks in mortar, or water in the crawl space, call ProLift Systems at 481-4735 for a free inspection and estimate.
Have you ever thought about who decides if a product or service meets the customer satisfaction test? Who decides if the business performs better than others? It's not the business, but the customer. Our business community knows their customers decide if they have met the test. Customers, when you have a concern, don't go away. Give the business a chance to resolve your issues. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
We make important choices in our lives every day. You owe it to yourself to make an informed decision about where to receive cancer treatment. The Cancer Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center offers the area's only accredited program. That means it meets the high standards set by the Commission on Cancer. We consider it a blessing to provide you with the very best care available. To locate an MTMC physician, call 284-LIFE. Why choose any place else?
This is Bob New. I'm running for state representative in the 37th District. I've been a resident of Rutherford County for 23 years. I'm a registered nurse and veteran. I'm committed to the people of Rutherford County. I will work to bring good-paying jobs to Tennessee, improve our schools, and spend tax dollars wisely. Together, we can move Tennessee forward. I would appreciate your vote on November 6th. Visit my website at electbobnew.com. Thank you. I'm Bob New, and I approve this ad. Paid for by Bob New Campaign, Linda New Treasurer.
Weatherize.
A check of the forecast now with staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber. 43 degrees, sunny skies now. Good morning.
Lots of sunshine for the forecast area today, Brian, as highs warm into the upper 50s. We'll have a west-northwest wind between 5 and 15, at times feeling breezy. Clear skies for tonight, a low of 33 degrees. We're at 61 for Thursday with mainly sunny skies. Lots of sunshine on Friday, warmer, 68 degrees for your high. 75 Saturday with mainly sunny skies. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber.
Mandy, thank you so much. Our good neighbors of the day, Donnie and Kathy Bates, they receive flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts as our good neighbors of the day. Also, Alicia Marlin, happy birthday to you, receiving the cake from Junior's Foodland.
That update brought to you by New Airborne Hot Soothing Mix with 14 vitamins, minerals, and herbs, including vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin E, zinc, and echinacea. New Airborne Hot Soothing Mix. Real immune support.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Don Odom, our superintendent of schools, county schools. And we want to let you know that this part of his show is brought to you by Home Care. And when your and family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, at Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on, involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, at Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639, online at homecaretennessee.com. That's 713-4639 at Home Care. Your number one source for the best care in Middle Tennessee. You know, the way you guys, I mean, you have to be magicians, I guess, because you're dealing with so many different aspects of everything. I mean, we're talking about building, trying to keep up with the needs as far as personnel for the schools. You're having to deal with a great deal of money. You're dealing with the county commissioners. You're dealing with the school board. Everybody has an interest in what you're doing, and the parents. Do you feel like sometimes when you go to work that you're part of a juggling act and you don't know which way it's going to go through the air and fall next?
Most days, probably like that. You know, the school board's done a lot to open it up. You can actually see a school board meeting now on internet if you'd like to. If you want it live, if not, it's going to be played back, you know, by cable channel 19 with the other county government. So it is the people's business. We have people come almost every board meeting and will speak to some topic or some interest that they do. So if people are contributing their tax monies, and we want parent involvement because we know that when you have high levels of parent involvement, student achievement goes up with it.
Right.
So in everything you do, you try to create whatever you can. Knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. And so if you give parents knowledge and understanding, the future of education is really changing, though. I mean, people will see over the next several years, you're going to see many more dual credit courses. Kids will leave high school with more credits already for college. You're going to see much more use of technology. The Common Core assessment that occurs in 14-15 is online across this country. So there'll be a MOOC. Students will be doing much more of that. We are actually, I've initiated a look at our policies about what we call bring your own device, the tablets, the pads, and that sort of thing. So much comes through now from other sources to supplement what's students are doing. If a student gets behind, we use more software, more things like that to give individual attention to the student where they can work more at their own pace and all. So the education of a teacher and a chalkboard is really different now. So more training for teachers. A lot of our new teachers that come in really grew up in this world. If we don't do this, Truman, we're not preparing the students for the world they'll be working in.
What I was sitting here thinking while you were saying all that was basically we're setting our high schools up toward an education level that they can utilize going straight into the workforce, because a lot of kids, let's face it, waste their time when they go to a university because that's not what their intent is to start with. They in some ways they have it in mind what they want to do for their careers for the rest of their lives. So if you have those subjects that are aimed that way at a high school level, then the cost of education is not going to be part of their learning process, because they're going to stamp, well, this kid went to Siegel or Blackman or Oakland, Riverdale or whatever, and he achieved this level of competency in the area that he's going to go. So why should he have to go to a university and take all these other subjects that are not even going to pertain to what his career is going to be? Now, I'm not trying to kill the universities, but there is a level that everyone could save by doing that process. And what you're talking about seems to be able to be able to put a stamp on this individual when he leaves, he can go directly into this occupation.
You know, we yesterday, one of the figures I was listening to in the Workforce Development Summit that was going on, that some of the students coming out of the Megatronics and the training in those programmable logic devices can start at around $60,000.
Wow.
Now, that's better than a whole lot of people in college with certain degrees.
Well, you see a lot of that, yeah.
You know, we have kids that even come out of the automotive classes that are already certified ASE. And they used to do commercials, you know, look at your auto, where you're getting your car fixed, see if it's ASE certified or ASE, I may have the numbers. You know, the same with some of our computer classes and all. Kids come out, if they'll take the test at the end, it's a national test, then they can have certification in many of these areas to begin with. The problem is communication with parents. We really have not done a good job as a school and maybe as a community in letting people know what their student can, they want them to have a good life and a good salary, what's really available out there as a second option to college. And there's just a lot there. But you kind of have to, you need to plan it out. And so as we talked this morning in upper elementary or in middle school, students have to begin to think about maybe what we need to do. So we need to do a much better job of educating them on the opportunities and getting our parents involved in career fairs and things about, hey, there are different alternatives out there and that pay very well.
When you talk about career fairs, what we're talking about is maybe sometime during the school year,
right,
the opportunity will open up for parents and their children to actually attend things that are going to be more in their line of interest and aptitudes to go into and become successful. You know, the thing about our country is it is so strong, stronger than any other nation in the world, because of our middle class. I mean, our middle class is really the strength. And you got your few in the upper echelon of the science and the math and all those other things. But, you know, to be really successful, you have to hone in on what your aptitudes are, as you well know. So that's going to be a possibility that maybe the education process is going to filter out to the parents and to the other people, because I think that's what most parents want. They want their children to be successful in whatever area they go into. And I think that is absolutely wonderful for us to have that in Rutherford County. Would that be something that would be possible for every school in Rutherford County?
We're trying to coordinate it with some of the businesses and all in the area to do it. And it may not be possible to do it at every school because some of them offered to bring in some machines. I'll give you an example here. When I was growing up, you thought about, machine shop. If you take a job in tool and die or something, you thought of grease and not to. I don't know whether you've been in one lately, but now dust is a problem for them. And so those places are cleaner than many places you would go into. Yeah. It's just the image, the old image of what these occupations are just does not fit anymore. And so making people aware of that and what the opportunities are, we're looking at ways that with this machine group and all that they would bring in and look at that. They could see what kind of machines and talk to people in the field. I heard Emil Hassan say something like this morning that across the country, like 6,000 engineers needed, Nissan needs people like that and all. So it's just amazing. He was talking about even the people that are on the line, the area managers now, have to have so many skills, people skills, because they become much more responsible for the whole product from their part of the line. It used to be somebody was promoted from the line, you became the manager and kind of was a supervisor. But the role now and the expectation for everybody is a little bit higher. They're not saying that they need to be a person with a college degree, but it has to be somebody that's thought about it and prepared themselves. And if they've taken certain courses and skills in high school to prepare for this, then they're prime candidates for that. They move quicker.
You hit it on the nail when you said people skills. That is the one thing that is missing in management in most areas I've ever been. You can have all the MBAs that you can garner, but it's not going to help you one iota if you cannot apply it to the people that are working under you. And, there are some, I'm not going to mention any in particular, but there's some occupations that I know of that people have worked for 20, 25 years at a high level without degrees, and then people will come in with a degree and they're automatically over those people with all that knowledge and all their abilities to work with their fellow workers. And you mentioned the criminal justice. I've been a proponent for years that what you learn on the street and by the people who have been on the street all those years is what really makes you successful, makes you safe, and you're able to work with the public a whole lot better than that, because what you learn in a classroom in those particular areas, you can throw out the window. You really can, because put it to a practical means, it works a whole lot better. And I'm tickled that you're having that in the high school level, because, to carry that on and get a degree in criminal justice, and I'm not going to knock it. The people went through, I'm proud for them. But I have seen so much of the people that have learned and gone through the hard way. The officers are much more sound. They really are, and they deal so much better in that particular area. And what you're doing over there is something that's so practical and so useful, it just blows my mind. It really does.
People need to take a look on our website. You can go in under the schools. Each school is separately, and you can look at the course offerings. You can look at what's offered academically. You can also look and see what's offered for career and technical education. I just want to say to people, kind of open your eyes, and as you sit and talk with your child, in the eighth grade, we give a test called the ACT Explorer. Of course, most people know the ACT to get into college, but we give an eighth grade ACT Explorer. A portion of that ACT Explorer is an aptitude. The student answers a series of questions about their likes and dislikes, and ACT puts out a little wheel, and where your student, based on their answers, some aptitude that they're leaning towards occupations in this area. So if parents hadn't picked that up, and it's given again this year, it's given this fall to our eighth graders, and that'll come back sometime probably in the winter months, parents take a look at that and see what kind of aptitudes their child is showing some interest in. And that helps you in choosing courses sometimes, because if somebody can go towards the aptitude that they already enjoy, then they're going to put their whole self into it. You know, that that's what we need to think about.
What are we looking for the future for a person who wants to be an educator? Because it's constantly changing. So what you're saying is even that process is going to change. Do you think that that we're looking in an area where the career people, the education people who want to go into a career, you're seeing some fallout as far as the test and things like that and how they are actually graded. Do you think it's going to maintain that way, or is it going to change slowly and progressively?
It's going to change. As you see, even people that enter education today, the technical aspects of it, as I mentioned earlier, the ways to teach. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's happening across the country with this Common Core, interestingly enough, we used to say you take your old achievement test, which almost probably most people listening to us have taken an achievement test one time or the other, you know, multiply these 10 problems, add these 15. Every problem now is embedded in a real-world problem. You do not have near as many problems, but it's the numbers, the thing that you're trying to solve is embedded in that problem. Mm-hmm. The students in Rutherford County this spring in 3 through 8 took a Common Core assessment in mathematics, and it's just about four questions. Mm-hmm. And when you score that thing, the right answer gets you 1 point. If you can do a model drawing of that, if you can look at that a different way and draw a model of how you're solving it, that's another point. You can write an equation or a number sentence for that, showing more depth of understanding, you get an additional point. So one of the things it's moving to is really, and I'm glad the United States is doing this, we used to be a mile wide and an inch deep. Mm-hmm. The process now is going toward teaching more thinking skills, that being problem solvers. Mm-hmm. And that's really where we need to be. So that's the change that parents, when a child brings home homework and sees things in the next 2 or 3 years, my goodness, where is this? You used to hate those statement problems, but what I'm telling you, everything's a statement problem now. Students write. They have to read a paper or something. One of the ones ahead test was a letter from the president about Arbor Day. And a student would read that and then have to cite, mm-hmm, as part of that, what was that author's opinion? Why did they say that? I mean, you're doing analytical skills, mm-hmm, in solving it.
Right.
When my staff attorney saw it, she made the statement, good grief, I didn't see this till I entered law school, and you had to do the analysis and organize it. And she said, we just weren't taught this way initially. But I'm saying that the students really from now and forward are going to be taught differently, and the expectation is different. But we will be better for this process.
I think that's a skill that's been lost over the years.
It has.
Is reading and then being able to understand what you just read.
Right.
That's just a simple You were saying earlier that the school board actually goes through training processes and learning processes now. Now, that's an interesting thing. Of course, the school boards are primarily work with the superintendent. It's not on a hands-on school-to-school, but do they work on policies and all those things that relate to what's going on in education, or what is their level of responsibility?
They're the policy-setting group, mm-hmm, for the school system. So we actually have a meeting coming up, I believe it's the 8th of November, where we look at policies. Mm-hmm. So they develop the policies. They do not do the day-to-day. That, mm-hmm, falls basically on the superintendent and the staff there. Mm-hmm. They do prepare budgets. Obviously, from that, they and we submit them. We do some of the drafts of areas, but they have to understand that budget. Mm-hmm. They are elected officials. They are another contact with your community. So they'll absolutely bring in what their constituents say. This is a concern. This is a need I'd like to see us do. So when you with the school board, and I was for the elected school board, I think it's really good that each area gets an opportunity to elect their representative. We've got some good ones, some skills. One of the newer ones that came on this year was David Nipper. Mm-hmm. He works for IBM. I talked to him earlier. He was from a laptop working on a server in France for IBM, building a server.
Yeah.
So I put him on our group, our committee that's looking at our technology pieces, helping us evaluate with it. But each one of those board members have skills. Terry Hodge has done lots of construction and, mm-hmm, things management with that, has those skills. But each one of them brings something to the table, and where we can, we put them and integrate them into our day-to-day workings to serve with committees on the board to be a part of it. And then when the policy comes around and the budget comes around, they understand that.
You know, I with Harry was on, we would talk a little bit about, you know, certain things like evaluations and stuff like that. And I've always found that interesting that they do evaluations publicly on the superintendents. And I've been on boards, and I've always found it interesting that if the superintendent or the person that's over that particular area that you're a board member, you kind of let them run with it because you put them in an area of responsibility that they know what they're doing. And I've always felt like that if you started interfering with the process, you're causing more harm than you are good. And to be perfectly honest, I don't know how you would grade a superintendent because the responsibilities are so far out. I mean, and so many things that you deal with on a daily basis that nobody will ever know what you have to do. They really don't, because from the time that you step forward into that office, when Joyce Michael says, you have all of these calls and 30 people waiting out there for you to talk to you, there's no way to measure all that. There really isn't. And if you survive the day, you're really doing well.
The Tennessee School Board Association does some model documents for them. Much of my evaluation will be built around student performance, and I ask for that. You know, if my principal is going to be evaluated on student performance, my teacher is going to be evaluated on student performance, then evaluate me on that. So
how do you evaluate somebody on student performance?
It's the percentages. It's under this new thing, annual measurable objectives. How many are you attaining? The way we became one of the exemplary schools for the year is that we had to make more than half of our achievement measures and gap closure measures, which is probably too deep. We don't want to get into today, but you measure by how many of those. You also measure teachers. One of the big things is in growth, how much students learn, taking students where they are in growth. We have schools with high poverty areas that have tremendous growth of students. You have, we're the third largest ESL population in the state. People don't understand. We got about 2,400 English language learners.
Wow.
65 languages spoken.
Unbelievable.
We actually made our goals. The state set the goals for us last year for those students. So great people out there, when they target it and work on it in a systematic way, get results.
Mm-hmm. It's so complicated, the whole system. I didn't realize we were like Hong Kong. I mean,
it's
so
amazing.
Many different languages and everything.
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Got home last night, switched on NPT, and it was on ELL, and they were showing some of our schools in Smyrna. That's where, where the filming was done there.
Uh-huh.
Smyrna High School, actually.
So what the student does on a daily basis as far as their academic process, it goes on up. The responsibilities goes all the way from, of course, none of it stops on the parents. It's all the teacher all the way up to the principal. Do you ever have time? Of course, a principal is kind of like he's out there all on this island running his government in a way. Do you ever have time when the process becomes a constant fight or in between parents and principal? Do you ever get that? Because you know you have different ways that they all deal with it. They all have their own personalities, and it may not exactly fit with some of the
one issue or something.
Yeah.
It's usually some issue, some decision that's made that draws into that. And
I don't see how that could be avoided. Couldn't be avoided.
Absolutely. But if parents would just come and talk, that's the answer to many things. Why was this decision made? Why do we need to do it this way?
Yeah.
That's the answer to it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Don Odom.
enjoy delicious homemade soup on a cold day and help Habitat for Humanity. Yes, Habitat for Humanity's Cooking to Build will be Saturday, November 3rd. It's on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza. You get to keep the hand-painted bowl and enjoy all the soup, stew, and chili. I'll be broadcasting there, too. Habitat for Humanity's Cooking to Build, Saturday, November the 3rd, 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza in front of the library.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Talking with Dr. Rishi Saxena, board-certified cardiologist, the first to acquire the 64-slice CT scan, and still the only one in the area that can decipher the information.
I'm the most trained guy. I'm board-certified in heart CT. Nobody else is in this area.
Before heart catheterization or stress test, call 896-4800. This CT scan only takes minutes, no needles, and it could show early signs other tests miss.
We are the only one who are trained to find plaque buildup earlier.
Here's Frank LePetri, pastor of Holly Grove Baptist Church.
I would like to extend a special invitation for you to come worship with us. We're an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing Southern Baptist church, teaching Christ Jesus is the Lord and a sinful man's only hope.
Worship with the family of Holly Grove Baptist Church. Sunday school begins at 9:45 a.m. and worship services at 11. Join us Wednesday nights at 7.
We have a great youth program and Sunday school classes for all age groups.
Holly Grove Baptist Church is on Holly Grove Road. Turn right off Highway 231 past Walter Hill School onto Holly Grove Road.
We're about 3 miles on the left. I promise you, you will find a warm welcome inside. Find out more at hollygrovebaptist.com or by calling 896-5282.
Holly Grove Baptist Church, reaching out to offer hope.
Don't miss our services here on WGNS each Sunday at noon. I'm Frank LePetri, and may the Lord bless you.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
You are listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Don Odom, our great superintendent of schools right here in Rutherford County. And this part of his show is brought to you by Caldwell Banker Barnes Auctioneers, Ralph McKee and J.D. Kite. And they invite you this Saturday to go to Christiana at 6108 Sledge Road, and it's Ben and Ruth Hilliard's place, and they're having an auction there this coming Saturday, and it's two homes, a 36 by 64 metal shop over 20 acres. Farm equipment, shop tools will be sold as the Hilliards downsize. This is an auction you don't want to miss. The auction begins at 10 a.m., farm equipment sale at 11:30, and the land sales at noon. This Saturday at 6108 Sledge Road in Christiana. And for more information, visit CaldwellBankerAuctions.com or call 893-1130. That's CaldwellBankerAuctions.com or call 893-1130. Caldwell Banker Barnes, firm number 4419. You know, we could talk all day about the school system, but it's there. I mean, all the rules are set out, but thank goodness we have people like you, Don, and some of the people that are working with you that see a lot more to it. There are more opportunities in our school system than most people realize, and the constant change is for the good of our kids, for the good of our community, and to make sure that all of these students can be as successful as possible. And you know, in this day and time where people are looking for their careers, What are you looking for in a teacher when they want to come into the Rutherford County school system? Because you're so successful, and you're going to continue to be, and you're always looking for ways, just what we had mentioned earlier, to make changes that make even more successful. If a person's out there now wanting to get into the Rutherford County school system and be a part of the growth, what are you looking for?
To me, number one is that they have to really care about the students and mm-hmm. the kids. They have to be somebody that, and you can tell it. I was in classrooms this week and watching some of those young teachers work with some first and second graders and all, just how they attach to them, how they talk to them, mm-hmm. Almost another mother figure there with mm-hmm. them and all. So first, I think, is the connection to the occupation mm-hmm. that you do it. Teachers now have to have a good background of knowledge. I mean, what they're asked to do, especially in an elementary class, I mean, they are the person that's going to teach the math, they're going to teach the science, they're going to teach the social studies, they're going to teach the English and reading language arts. So they are also juggling, but you have to have somebody with good competency in that. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned earlier before the break, you know, teachers now, 35% of their evaluation is the academic growth of that student that year.
And that's scary for a
teacher. It is scary. I mean, but we do very well for that. You had this roughly, they did the 1 through 5, I don't know, people may remember, and said when you do your value-added gains, that teachers, teacher effect is what they call it. They said the majority of the people will be a 3. Well, in our elementary schools, when I looked at it, our 4 or 5 came to about 48% of our teachers. But we made a good selection, and we're developing people to do that. In addition to that, then the other thing, and it's not different than it is from a business or when you were sheriff, you got to have people that can work as a team.
Right.
I mean, there's not any research out there anywhere that says the best way for a teacher to teach is to take their lessons, plan it, go behind the door and close it. Mm-hmm. So we have the professional learning communities now. And so teachers meet at the same grade level or the same subject. And when we give what we call common formative assessment, teachers give virtually the same test to a group of students, you know, at the same time. And then we go back and we look at it. Mm-hmm. And you'll see something like you'll have a problem on there. And when the test is given, well, Truman Jones, 70% of Truman Jones students got that correct. But 40% of Don Odom students got that one correct. Well, you did something I didn't do. You were able to teach that a different way or a different approach in doing that. So when you have these collaborative teams, that's what we sit and talk about. Mm-hmm. Parents, sometimes they're not like, we have 4 partial days a year, mm-hmm. which is a scheduling nightmare for parents. But what we do at that time, that's part of that collaboration time that we build in, that you can sit down and talk about that. Well, I go by an old adage, when the water in the bay rises, all the boats rise. Mm-hmm. So when you learn from each other and you pick the best quality from each teacher and they start sharing with each other, you got a winning combination there. So you're looking for people, again, back to the question, that are team players, are people that can work with others and do it. So I'd say somebody that loves kids, kind of knows their content because they're called upon, and then has the personality and the ability to learn from others and be a team player in it. And if you can get those 3 qualities, you can, through training and all, develop a lot of the other things that we need.
What if you have structure problems within a classroom? Maybe certain kids are not motivated. They want to become disruptions rather than part of the process of learning. How do you deal with that? Because it affects not only the teacher's ability to teach, but also the other students to learn. How do you, I know how they used to do it when we were going to school.
I do too.
And I was part of that process too.
It's probably the most difficult task that teachers have to deal with that. And one student can change that considerably.
Mm-hmm.
One,
they can.
Sometimes a special needs or other issue with it. But again, part of that's team and what worked for you. How can we take this student and maybe, I mean, there are timeouts or a lot of things that mm-hmm. some people might still use at home. But we have counselors. We have other people that work with students. So you try to get around that.
What if point you can. Do you say this student is no longer welcome in the classroom?
I mean, You know, we almost can never say that. As a public school, they may be an alternative school. If the behavior is such that you have to.
Yeah, take them
and
over.
And then you assign them there for a while, and you do that. And it's really interesting to see. I used to do disciplinary hearings for the county school system. I would have students that would appear again, wanting to go back again. And when you'd talk to them and you'd learn it, they couldn't handle the 2,000-student high school well, but they handled the alternative school and actually would commit another offense to try to go back because the numbers in the classroom and the attention they got and not as much outside distractions from others, they were able to cope with it themselves better. So really different personalities there. Sometimes people cope better even in that environment.
And they have people that they relate to in the classroom, because I know that we had people over there at the alternative school and just watching them. They were thrown in there together, but sometimes maybe the academics were not they were not able to keep up with them, and they would do anything to just get away from it. And I know that's part of it. But you guys, you really do such a good job. And I want to thank you for taking that responsibility for our kids and our community. And I hope you continue on for many, many years, Don.
Thank you for the opportunity to do this.
Joyce Michaels, hey, over there.
I will. Joyce is more than my right-hand person and a secretary. Yeah. She is just a truly great person.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes. And we'll see you guys in the morning. And tomorrow we'll have Jennifer and let's see. We have Marty Stewart's mama, Hilda, on tomorrow. So we'll see you at 9 o'clock.